Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in Psalm 22, and this is one of the more familiar psalms with people. And it is a psalm that shows the agony of somebody that's undergoing trial, tribulation, persecution, all sorts of stuff. Even the first verse, as we saw in the previous episode, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is someone, King David likely, because it says the Psalm of David, who was wondering why God was forsaking him. And we see that Jesus quotes that exact phrase from the cross. And as we will see with the balance of the psalm, it actually describes what occurs physiologically in a crucifixion. I mean, there's so many truths, so many parallels. So it's prophetic from that sense, okay? So we have seen in the previous episode that he's calling out and says, I call during the day, I call at night. You don't answer. I have no rest. But you know what, God? You're holy. You are enthroned the praises of your people. And in the same way that my forefathers trusted you and you delivered them, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to wait, and you're not going to put me to shame. Even though right now I feel like a worm, I don't even feel like a human. People were mocking him, they're wagging their tongues at him. Verse 8, remember this, says, he trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him, let him rescue him, for he delights in him. That's the same type of phrase that's used to the religious people and what they were saying to Jesus while he was on the cross. And then we closed in the previous episode with verses 9 and 10, where he said this, yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. And again, we have pictures of what we've mentioned several times. Often in the Psalms, you'll have parallelism where a particular truth or a picture is stated, and then it's stated again. Okay? Sort of an emphasis type of thing. And he's saying that the Lord is the one that has made him trust in the Lord, even from the time of his mother's womb. He says that in verse 10, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. I think sometimes we forget that, particularly those of us who are believers. Do you really think that we just woke up one day and said, hey, you know, I think I'll believe? Even if you did wake up one day, as happened with King Nebuchadnezzar, and when he woke up after 7 years, and he came to his senses. It's an intriguing phrase, isn't it? He came to his senses. Even if you did do that, that came from the Most High God. Okay, he's the one that did that. So in verse 11, David presses on. He says this, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. And then, well, that was loud, wasn't it? And then he starts bringing forth word pictures and descriptors from Israel's past that they would have understood. And we can understand them when we know the scripture. Verse 12, many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. So let me stop right there. Bashan is a region, okay? It's east of the Jordan River. It goes all the way up to Mount Hermon. And Mount Hermon was considered to be literally the gateway to hell. It was placed to this day that's considered to be where the sons of God in Genesis 6 came down and cohabitated with the daughters of men and all that stuff, all that unseen realm thing. Og was the king of Bashan. You see him in Israel defeated Og, the king of Bashan. But the mighty bulls, the strong bulls of Bashan, yes, that speaks of resistance within the natural realm, but it particularly speaks of resistance and attack from within the spiritual realm, from within the unseen realm. Yeah, there were people coming after David and doing what he's about to say, what he's already said. They're wagging their tongues at him. They're doing all this kind of stuff, shaking their heads at him. Yeah, that was happening. But he knew that the battle was not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and things within the heavenly realm. He continues on in verse 13. He says this, they open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. The idea of being like a tearing and roaring lion. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. So this is the state that David found himself in. And this is one of the passages that is very, very, it's a very, very vivid description of what happens in a crucifixion. I mean, you're literally just being poured out like water. Your bodily fluids are just being drained from you. Your bones are out of joint. Your heart is like wax and it's melting. So literally what happens is that they wind up drowning on the cross from the building up of the fluids, congestive heart failure type of thing. He has no strength. His tongue sticking to his jaw because of thirst. And he says, you lay me in the dust of death. Verse 16, even more detail. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count on my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now, the previous episode, I described Psalm 22 as being a prophetic psalm, speaking to the things of the day, speaking of what David had gone through, was going through, but carrying even more import for things that are coming in the future. Well, right here, it's sort of obvious, isn't it? Because he's saying what? I've got these dogs that are coming after me, and this is like the wild, ravenous dogs. These evildoers, this company of evildoers that are like a pack mentality. They're encircling me. They have pierced my hands and feet. Well, is that not what happens with a crucifixion? Now, it's interesting. Lexham says this, because dogs have surrounded me, a gang of evildoers has encircled me. Like the lion, they are at my hands and feet. Oh, that's an interesting interpretation. I wonder why they go that route with it. I don't know. Maybe I'll check that out sometime. And he says, I can count my bones. They stare and gloat over me. Is that not what happened at the cross with the Lord? Yeah, it is. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. Well, that is exactly what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want to tear the garment that he had because it's more valuable than one piece, so they cast lot for it. So what's the psalmist doing in the midst of all this? Verse 19. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. In other words, don't remain distant. Don't turn away from me. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. And to my assistance. Remember, he just said a while ago, I have nobody to help me. Now he's saying what? Lord, you are my only help. Then verse 20, deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. And he's not talking about the animal dog. He's talking about these people that are living and acting the evildoers with the pack mentality like a dog. He's talking about the evildoers who are like the bulls of Bashan. And then verse 21, save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild ox. So now he's saying, God, you've answered me before. You've rescued me. You've done this. Now, will you save me from the lion's mouth? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on here with the way that David cries out to the Lord. What we've seen in these first 22 Psalms so far. The evil that's come against him. How he turned to the Lord. I think there's a lot for us to glean right here if we paid attention. Don't you agree? Well, I'm Dale. Hey, thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.